Welcome to the audio podcast of The Table,
a new United Methodist community of faith taking shape at Central UMC in Sacramento, California.
The podcasts currently feature the messages of Matt Smith and Linda Duhirsu,
with a musical introduction by Anthony Coleman, our director of music.
Thanks for listening.
We're moving this entire summer, we're looking together at different images each week. So last week we looked at baseball as a road to God, and this week we're looking at the image of CrossFit. So we have a number of CrossFitters in our room, and if you don't know what CrossFit is, that's totally okay. We're going to be on the same page in a moment. But this is one of our CrossFitters named Tiffany, and Tiffany's going to share with us our reading this morning from Psalm 52.
Why do you boast, O mighty one, of mischief done against the godly? All day long you are plotting destruction. Your tongue is like a sharp razor, you worker of treachery. You love evil more than good, and lying more than speaking the truth. You love all words that devour, O deceitful tongue. But God will break you down forever. God will snatch and tear you up from your tent. God will uproot you from the land of the living. The righteous will see and fear and will laugh at the evildoer, saying, "See the one who would not take refuge in God, but trusted in abundant riches and sought refuge in wealth. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the steadfast love of God forever and ever. I will thank you forever because of what you have done. In the presence of the faithful, I will proclaim your name, for it is good."
May you run and not be weary. May your heart be filled with song. And may the love of God continue to give you hope and keep you strong. And may you run and not be weary. May your life be filled with joy. And may the road you travel always lead you home.
Psalm 52 is It's a tough place to start when you're gathering to give thanks for God's abundant grace, because it actually begins with all kinds of anger and frustration. It's one of the very few psalms that we have that isn't directed to God. It's directed to another group of people, and there's really no way around it. The original psalmist who was writing was frustrated, was filled with anger. And I think what you could say is that this text serves as the words of God's faithful people, both back then and maybe in this day as well, who feel threatened. They feel threatened about what's happening around them. And so this text seems to speak deeply to both back then and this day today. Because it seems to me that the temptation in both the ancient world and in our world is to live simply for ourselves and not for others, often at the expense of others. And so the psalmist looked around and saw deception and injustice and thought that this is not how God longs for the world to be. And yet it is. And so all the psalmist could do was simply place trust and hope in a God of abundant love, when everyone around the psalmist, it felt like, was placing their hope in possessions and in themselves. See, the psalms are a collection of poems, of stories, of songs that express the depth and the breadth of human emotions. They're filled with anger and with hope, with fear and with possibility. One person earlier this week on Facebook talked about that the Psalms are actually lyrical prayer, and they tend to follow, as the lectionary does, the seasons of our lives. And so if you read the Psalms throughout the year, you'll return over and over to different places that you find yourself. Because who hasn't looked around them and felt that the whole world was deceptive or unjust? And so we have choices when we're in that moment. We have choices about how we will respond and in whom we'll place our trust. The Psalms, though, remind me that God is not afraid of whatever emotions live inside of us. There are no gimmicks or facades. We're just simply called to show up and to encounter God right there, in all that we are, in the messiness and in the beauty. God's longing for us to place our trust in God's abundant love. And for us as followers of Jesus, we know that God's abundant love was expressed most fully and clearly and dynamically in the form of that holy human being named Jesus who came to show us a new way of living. I think you could say that Jesus' deepest hope for us was that we could notice grace all around us and then get caught up in that grace. That God's unfolding grace would be alive in us and clear to us, and then we would respond to that. And so we're spending all summer looking at different everyday images in hopes that faith could be real in our lives. Not just something that we show up for once a week, but something that we live with in each and every moment. So we looked at baseball as a road to God, and this morning we'll look at CrossFit, and next week we'll look at gardening. But here's the truth. The truth, it seems to me, is this. Most often, we don't want to be bothered by grace getting in our way. We'd far rather just go on with our lives. It's a lot easier to put my trust in my limited possessions and in myself, because at least it's concrete and it's clear. It's right in front of me, and it's where most of the world is calling us all the time. There's a biblical scholar who shared this week that this is the contemporary image of Christianity that he finds. His name is Walter Brueggemann. People today, he says, don't mind dying in the end for Christ, but don't want to be inconvenienced until then. And it seems to me that that's how we often live our faith lives. I don't mind. It'd be nice at the end if I die in Christ, but until then, I'd rather not be inconvenienced. And that's myself at my worst, and maybe it's you at various moments in your life. We're reflecting this morning on CrossFit because I believe that it is one of the most provocative images in our culture today about how people's lives are being transformed through a very inconvenient way of getting together, through a way that takes people into suffering. And somehow people want to get up in the morning, some in our community, before the sun comes up, to go and suffer for an hour, to almost collapse, to be on the brink of vomiting, and then to go home and think, now I'm feeling better. And some of you are looking, that's the craziest thing you've ever heard. And you might actually be right. And I would also say in our biblical images, suffering is something that we're called over and over and over. And I'm not saying it's the same kind of suffering that's in CrossFit, but God comes among us in the form of Jesus to take on human form and then suffers with us to say that there is nothing you can experience in this world that God is not with and in and calling you out of. And the psalmist takes us there this morning. No matter what kind of deception and injustice is around us, God is calling us through to plant ourselves like an olive tree in the grace and the abundant love of God. And so, about 150 years ago, a movement swept across this country called Methodism. And people started to gather together in small groups, and they started to share about how it is with their soul and to watch over each other in love. And it turns out that when they did that, more and more people wanted to show up because their lives were being transformed. And then about 120 years ago, most stopped meeting in those small groups and they just kept gathering on Sunday mornings. And it turns out that that movement started to dwindle and it's been on the decline ever since. A few years ago in Santa Cruz, some folks started to work out in a way that people thought, that is the most insane thing I've ever seen in my life. And it spread like wildfire across the world. And this week, some of the fittest people in the world will gather together for a competition called the CrossFit Games. And so I want to invite us to just look together. Here's a short video about CrossFit for folks that might have no idea what I'm talking about. Let's watch.
Mm-hmm. You haven't heard of CrossFit? Let me tell you about CrossFit.
CrossFit is a lifestyle in which you are prioritizing your health.
The ability to do many different things at a high level of intensity.
I think it's the absolute best way to help you reach your fitness goals.
For me, it's making me happy.
A fun way to get fit with log mounted by the last person finishing is just as important as the first one.
It's this team atmosphere that ends up making you better as an individual. Camaraderie, that family that you end up building, and the energy that you get back from it yourself, that's CrossFit to me.
When you come to a CrossFit gym, everybody knows your name, everybody loves you, and you're a part of something bigger than just getting a workout.
CrossFit gave me that something extra that I kind of needed in life.
It's my outlet. I love it.
It's my passion.
It's commitment.
CrossFit is a sport now.
I like the challenge. I compete with myself. I'm healthier. I am stronger.
Even though I was sore, I was, would get a little discouraged. I felt accountable to my community, or I felt accountable to my class because they were looking for me there.
Finding CrossFit and having to work really dang hard for whatever your goal is, whether it's to compete or just get a damn pull up.
I love it because the workout's different every day. I can come in and I don't know what I'm doing.
Everyone is welcoming. Everyone is cheering you on. They don't let you quit, even if you want to quit.
We all share this experience, which is emotional. It doesn't look emotional. It looks like people working out, but it's emotional. I mean, it's raw. It's intense. It's incredible. It's freaking awesome. I'm going to keep doing it for a long time, I hope.
CrossFit to me is a fitness program where the reward for doing well is the ability to express your fitness in everyday life in as many different planes or as many different activities that you can possibly imagine.
People walk through the door and say, hey, where's all the machines? Where are the machines?
I started about 3 years ago, right after Eleanor was born, to go to the CrossFit gym. And prior to that time, I would go and work out a couple times, and I would do like one set of muscles one day, at least I thought I was, and then another set of muscles later. And it turns out over about 10 or 12 years, my body really did not change at all. No matter what I did, it felt like it just kind of stayed the same. And when I got to CrossFit, I think when I looked at the bar to do a pull-up, I thought, I know I should be able to do this, but it's really embarrassing that when I hang on that bar, my body is actually not going to go above that bar. And Vanessa's laughing at me. That's totally okay. That's how I felt inside. You can laugh. It's okay. I was embarrassed to be in that space. And they had this band. Other people in here have used them. It was about the size of a small truck that lifted me up over the bar. And within a couple of weeks, I needed a smaller band and then a smaller one and a smaller one. And now I could do 20, 25 of those at one time without stopping. And so CrossFit changed the way I thought about fitness and how I was. And there are people in our gym that come from every walk of life. I remember when I first started to do CrossFit, one person who'd lost a leg was working out with us, and he's at a different gym now. It has transformed people. But here's the trick with CrossFit. You actually have to show up, and you actually have to work out to the point of exhaustion, and then you have to get up tomorrow and do it again. And then you do it again, and you do it again, and you keep doing it. And so I wonder, is faith actually similar to that? Not something that you have at one moment and you check off a list and think, I did that. What's next? I don't want to be inconvenienced. But is it something that you actually have to wake up to every morning and direct your attention toward? If we're going to live in God's abundant love and unbridled hope and possibility, are we going to have to sift through the deception and the injustice around us to get caught up, allow ourselves to be unfolded in God's grace? When we, as people of faith, practice our faith in that kind of intense way, I believe that it is transformational. I know it has been in my life. Here's a second truth that I found powerful in CrossFit. It's that your fitness is not mine. Steve and I might go to CrossFit together, and he may excel in things that I cannot do. And then a few weeks later, we might find one thing that I can actually do better than Steve. I never imagined that about fitness. I thought it was either something someone had or didn't have. Either that person's really strong or they're not. But the truth is, in CrossFit, I've learned over and over again that there are some things I do okay and a lot of things that I don't do well. And that's true for all of us, no matter how phenomenal or how phenomenally fit we actually are. It's true for each and every one of us. But CrossFit can help us, no matter where we start, be fitter today than we were yesterday. When those elite athletes gather later this week to compete against each other, I will not be there, not this year or next year or in 15 years. It doesn't matter to me. I could not compete with those folks. But I do know that if I keep showing up, I can be more fit than I was yesterday. And what if I was to say it's similar in faith? That when Paul describes that we each have different spiritual gifts, it might be true. That for some of us, we might pray more easily than others aloud. And some of us might notice grace a little more readily in our lives. The truth is, I'm not going to wake up and become Mother Teresa or Dr. King. But I can wake up and be more faithful today than I was yesterday. And CrossFit helps me because it's really clear and it's concrete. So this is called a kettlebell. And Eleanor and I were walking in the park yesterday, and there were two guys who were launching these things in the grass all over the place. So these are sweeping across the country, really, that people are using all these times. And so there's this motion, and this is what it looks like in CrossFit. And if you're just getting started, this one weighs 18 pounds. And so you take it in CrossFit, and you just swing it up over your head, something like that. Or you can take, as you get stronger and stronger, and we're going to try this during the offering, but you can take it and you can swing a larger one up over your head. And that's like 53 pounds or so. And you think, why in the world would anyone want to swing a large metal ball up over their head? You can ask, but look at this. Look at this picture. It's the exact same motion. Don't we want to be able to play with the children around us in our neighborhood, with our grandchildren, and to say, I too want to run and be just where you are and in that space? And that's actually what it looks like to do it. It's the same movement, the same motion. And in church, it looks like this. It looks like Sarah and I learning to pray with our daughter over and over and over again. Every single time we gather for a meal, every single time we go to dinner, and every single time we go to bed. Because what we hope at that moment, and as we gathered last week, it's that when our daughter grows up and she learns that other children around her will be seen as suspicious because of the color of their skin and because they have a hoodie on and Skittles in their bag, that sure, her default position isn't to go to a place of fear or to build fences or to get out weapons, but it's to see a beloved child of God walking down the street and saying that that's what my church has taught me, and so I'm going to light a candle. That's the place I'm going to default to. That's where our community will default to, that every child is a child of God, every one. A musician says that where you invest your love, you invest your life. And I want to invest my love and my life in God and in my neighbors. And I actually think that CrossFit could teach the church something today about what it means to invest our lives and invest our love in something. So I want to walk through a class for a moment, and I want to hold it in tension with what happens in the life of a church. And my hope is that you'll find in this some ways for you to grow in faith. I was one of those folks that came into CrossFit and initially said, where's all the equipment? Because it's like a blank, empty room. And I'd been told that you need to have all this stuff to have fitness in your life. And so at CrossFit, you come in and they might say, go run a half mile or get on this rower and row for 500 meters. And then you'll work on mobility. People in the world outside of CrossFit just call that stretching. CrossFit has all kinds of lingo, so I apologize for that. It's kind of like the church, though. The church has all kinds of lingo, and people walk in and go, what is anyone even talking about? It's really similar in so many ways. And you see this movement that Aaron is doing on the screen. It's a clean and jerk. You might spend 30 or 40 minutes stretching out to get yourself ready to practice some skills like this. You could skip that. You could skip the warm-up. You could skip stretching. You could skip your skill work and say, I'm just here for the 5-minute workout. That's all. That's all I want. And I think you won't last. Your body will crash. You won't make it for long in CrossFit. And I think the parallel in the church is worship. You could dedicate your entire life to reaching in love. You could do it to the neighbors that live really close to you, and you could reach in love around the world in profound and prophetic ways. But I really believe that if you don't devote time in worship to rooting your life in God's abundant love for you, even me, it won't last. It just won't last. Anybody that's done CrossFit for long will tell you that there's a lot more to it than the daily workouts. This was hard for me to learn, and I still suck at this. But it turns out that it matters what you eat. It matters. And in CrossFit, there's all kinds of debates. Should you eat paleo? Or I know there's a nutritionist among us. Or should you eat zone? Or should you eat zone paleo? And I don't even know what all these things mean all the time, but you get nervous just being around food at moments. But there is truth to that. See, worship is vital, but in and of itself, worship won't sustain us by itself. We need daily disciplines to root our lives in grace. And so one of those daily disciplines that I have found transformational is every time that I gather for a meal, whether it's at home or out somewhere else, we pause to say what we're thankful for and then to listen to what the people seated around us are thankful for. And then we close with the prayer to those who hunger, may God give bread, and those with bread, hunger for justice. And so inside of your bulletins, you'll see this little card. And maybe you pause as a daily discipline with every single meal, and you could add this or integrate this into your own prayer life. But maybe you're like a lot of people among us, and you just rush right through meals. And so I wonder, what would it look like for you this week to slow down? It's very simple. But being together with people in a simple and authentic way and sharing something that we're thankful for and then listening is transformational. It changes us. And that's what's happening all over the world in terms of why people are starting to do CrossFit or whatever PX2470 and all these different names people have on everything. Like, people have been transformed and they want to share that with folks. What would it be like to be in relationship with someone this week as you sit down to eat and to pause right there and to give thanks for God's abundant grace, and to say what that's looked like for you this week, this day? CrossFit is not convenient, but it is transformational. And it's my sense that if we pause, it won't be convenient for all of your meals, but it will be transformational. To gather weekly in worship and to pray with each meal, these are simple goals with transformational outcomes. And so, once you warm up, once you start doing that every day in your life as a person out in the world, in CrossFit, what happens after you warm up is you do a really intense workout, and sometimes it lasts 3 minutes and sometimes it lasts 30 minutes long, but you push your body beyond where you thought it could go, and then you go a little bit further. And you do it in community with other people. And I think that at its best, this is exactly what our kitchen tables are. That we gather together with a small group of people, and we try to break open our own lives to say, this is how it is with my soul, how is it with yours? And in the midst of that, we're raw and we're vulnerable. And we listen and we notice God's grace, and people start to point it out in our own lives. Now, you can cheat in CrossFit. You can. You can hide. Instead of doing a particular movement to standard, you could do it a little less than. Or instead of doing all of your reps, probably nobody's going to be next to you counting them out. But it's going to show up. It's going to show up in your own fitness, in your own health. And the same is true with the kitchen table. You could show up, but not be really honest with how it is with your soul. You could not take the time to really look deep within or to listen to how it is for someone else, and it's going to show up there too. Maybe not on the surface at that very first moment, but it will show up in the form of your faith. It will. And so I want to invite us to take just a moment and listen to a few of the people from our community who both are in worship here and then also in CrossFit. Let's listen to them.
There's something really special about CrossFitting with other people. You end up bonding a little bit through the misery that you put yourself through in every workout.
Especially at the start, the mental aspect of it, like not knowing if you're capable of doing the thing that people are asking of you, and knowing that people are going to watch you potentially like fail at that thing. Because you're doing it in a group setting, you're not sure if you can accomplish the task that's being set out for you to complete, and that you might look bad in front of people, I think was the most challenging thing for me. And then being okay with that, and realizing that that everybody feels that way, especially at the start, and then even to this day, like sometimes there are things that come up that I'm not sure that I can do, or that, you know, I'm going to be really bad at in comparison with the other people in the class.
I think there's different sorts of challenges. Some of it is that keeping a set of your own goals and where you're supposed to be rather than comparing myself to other people who've maybe been doing it better, and I think that's always something that I struggle with. So keeping my own goals and trying to see progress in what I'm doing versus looking at somebody else and thinking, oh my gosh, I'm never going to be that good. So that's challenging about it. And then I think just actually getting through the workouts are challenging, to say the least, especially some of them. And sometimes I don't get all the way through them.
What I'm thinking about is how freaking awesome I feel and how much I hate it. That sounds really awful when I think about it, but I'm thinking I hate this so much and I love it so much.
Love-hate relationship.
I love that about CrossFit. I think I love how I feel and how much I feel like my fitness is changing, doing things that I've not ever done before. And so I think it's sort of broken open a whole new perspective about being fit that didn't fit into any of my previous constructs of what that meant.
And so I wonder, what if being faithful could become more and more real and authentic in our own lives if we gathered each week and worried less about someone else's sharing and what's happening in their lives to fix them, and more about how God's grace might be holding us and carrying us through? And what if instead of getting caught up in their stories, we allowed to hear that, their story, as our story, and wonder about how God might work on us in the midst of that? And it can be scary to get together and to share about how it is with our soul. It's much easier to show up on Sunday at church and think, the pastor was off today. Mediocre, 7.2. 4.8. You might think it's really bad, I don't even know. But the truth is, it doesn't matter what I think about the coach at CrossFit in terms of the moment. It's up to me to actually put something into it. It's up to me at that moment, and it's up to all of us in this space. And if you're just getting started and you think, I'm going to go try this CrossFit tomorrow, I don't recommend that you jump in with one of the benchmark workouts and just say, I'm on it, I'm ready. You're going to want to start by learning some of the basics. And so at our gym, they call that on-ramp. So they don't just throw you in with wolves and say, good luck. Oh, it turns out you really messed up your shoulder. Sorry. We do something similar here at church. We call it Blueprint for Discipleship. And if you haven't ever been in a small group before where you've tried to share about how God is moving in your life and how it is with your soul, we would love for you to come tonight at 6:30 and to have dessert with us here at the church and to practice that with a small group of people, with Linda and with me, to begin to share about how it is with your life, how it is with your soul, how it is with God. Because we don't want to throw you out there and say, good luck, go get them. Best of wishes. We want to be with you in that space, but at the same moment, It's all of us allowing ourselves to get caught up in God's grace and love and then trying it on. So here's a few people talking about what it was like for them as they got started in CrossFit.
My first goal, I think, was to actually go through the on-ramp class, which I wasn't sure about that. And so that was my first goal. And so I met that goal of actually completing and then going on and doing classes.
Well, because I'm new at it, there's a lot of fear. For me right now, I'm looking at a bar thinking, oh my God, I'm not going to be able to put this over my head. Like, what? I don't want to lift over my head. I'm afraid of the bar every single day I walk in there during strength training. You know, the first two sets, I'm like, okay, I can do it. The third set, I'm like, I don't think I'm going to be able to do it. So it's a fear aspect every single day, and you get to overcome it.
This constant cycle of reassurance with yourself, with myself, I'm going to live. Like, I'm not going to die. And to continue moving through that is what keeps you going. It's not that you love the suffering, it's that you know you're going to finish it and feel that much better about yourself and that much better about your, I guess, teammates or classmates around you.
What fears are in our way? What fears are in our way right now from saying, I'm not going to show up tonight at 6:30, or I'm not going to move from Blueprint into a kitchen table, or when I do go into a kitchen table, I'm not going to really allow myself to be fully authentically there? What would it be like to say that I'm going to make a shift today? I'm going to try a different way. All this focus on health and fitness could easily become narcissistic. It's all about me. And I want to be clear that I don't think CrossFit has it all figured out. I think it can be very narcissistic and all about me. And at the same moment, over and over, you see CrossFit gyms trying to reach in love. They may not have justice figured out, but they're pretty clear about charity. And they want to gather together and work their bodies to the fullness and then give money away. And so it made me think and realize that how central reaching in love is to us as folks who long to follow Jesus. Because we're not called by God to just pray or to just grow in faith for ourselves. We're called to embody God's abundant love out in the world. And so a couple of weeks ago, a person who's down in Southern California, Megan Crane Russ, Megan and her daughter Bailey went down to Mustard Seed School, and Bailey's three. And they checked it out, and they said, what kinds of things do you guys need? And the folks at Mustard Seed School said, well, we have children who are homeless, and what we could really use are backpacks as they get started with school. And so Megan came to us a couple weeks ago and said, we need to reach in love by offering backpacks to kids. And so next week, we're going to officially launch something together where we're going to start to collect backpacks for kids who need them here in Sacramento. And then we're going to share those. One of the things that I've learned in CrossFit is that it's all tied in together. You're warming up. You're working out. How you're eating. How you're sleeping. And the same is true in practicing our faith. We can come to worship, and then we can fail to see the rest of our lives as an expression of worship. Or we can reach in love all the time and not reconnect with the source of God's love in this space. But the truth is, at its best, faith is weaving all of these together. So I want to tell a story about that and then close. Eleanor and I were doing her bedtime routine, and this was about, this was earlier this week, a couple days ago. And as we're doing her bedtime routine, we had gone through the books, she had her jammies on, she was ready to go. And she always asks, Daddy, what did you do today? And so we go through my day, and then she goes through her day. And when I went through my day, I started to tell her about Megan and Bailey. They want to help kids without backpacks have backpacks. And so Eleanor got worried. Well, does Bailey have a backpack? And I said, Bailey, yeah, Bailey has a backpack. Well, I have a backpack, Dad. You do? I like my backpack. You do? Does Anthony have a backpack? Yeah, I know Anthony has a backpack. Does Noah have a backpack? And she starts going through every three-year-old she knows, and do they have a backpack? And then she started to say later, as we tried to pray together, and she does it in a really simple way. She just says, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for my backpack. Thank you for Bailey. Thanks for Noah. She goes through every name. Prayer takes a long time. A long, long time. Annie Lamott says that prayer could be reduced to three simple things: help and thanks and wow. Eleanor's got the thanks down. She's ready to say it. And as a parent, I can see in her eyes the wow. I see it over and over again. And what I know too as a parent is she's going to find moments earlier than I ever want where she's going to need to call on the help. And my deepest hope is that we as a community have been journeying with her in and through all of that to say that when she is saying help, that she has a way to do it. And it looks like last week, lighting candles as people cried out, not having the words for what they had felt and what they had experienced. See, that person who says that I don't mind dying for Christ, I don't want to just be inconvenienced on the way. Well, in CrossFit, I'm reminded of just how inconvenient it is to actually stay healthy. I'm reminded that suffering becomes a part of it. And so you set goals and you scale workouts and you keep showing up and you try to pay attention and you fall off and then somebody reminds you to keep going and you keep showing up and sooner or later, what seemed impossible becomes a new way of life, a healthier way of life. And I think that's true of faith. Scale some of these things. I hear all the time, I want to read the Bible. Really? Well, I'd start with like a gospel because it's going to get a little easier to work through. So let's scale some of these things down. I want to pray. I want my whole life to be prayer. Let's start with a meal and say it there. I want to close with a quick video about the cost of discipleship and its inconvenience in CrossFit. So let's watch.
My first goals, I have many. I have actually a goal book. So I have many milestones in CrossFit, which you have to have, I think. It's so challenging all the time. My first goal was a handstand push-up, and I met that goal, and I can do those now. On a regular basis, I make sure I try it over and over again. A bigger goal probably is to just feel good about me. Always, no matter what.
So the ability to do things that you didn't think you could do, to change your body in ways that you didn't think you could change it, is very rewarding.
My dedication for everything has skyrocketed. I mean, I do get up at 5 every single morning. Even on days off, I get up at 5 and go to CrossFit at 6. I'm just more solid, stronger, endurance is up.
What I've realized in life is it's kind of one of those patience is a virtue. And I never really like to have patience. I always want the quick fix. And with that kind of stuff, CrossFit, there is no quick fix. I actually thank God all the time that CrossFit came into my life because I feel like, I gotta get emotional. I feel like it changed my life. So it's changed who I am, it's changed my recovery, it's changed, I think everything about me as a person. I'm stronger, I'm better. And only than yesterday, you know, that's how I look at it. I'm better than yesterday, and that's all that matters. So for me, it's changed everything.
As we move into prayer, I want to invite you to think about and to be as honest as you can with yourself and with God about how it is with your own soul. What are some of the things that you've put up around you to say that it's a little too inconvenient to follow the ways of Jesus. We all have them. What are some of the ways that you've said no to following God? Some of the ways that you've said yes, as the psalmist says, to the deception and the wealth and placed your hope there? What are some of the goals that you have to trust in God more tomorrow than you do today, more today than you did yesterday? Maybe it's searching scripture or showing up for Blueprint tonight and tearing that off and placing in the offering plate. Or maybe it's being more consistent in worship. Or maybe it's something that I haven't even imagined but is inside of your heart. Where are you with God? How are you going to allow yourself to be inconvenienced in the coming week so that you can live in God's abundant grace? Some of us might need to stay right where we are as we pray and just to be right here. And I'd invite others, if you feel led, to move over and to light candles as a sign of your hope, as a sign of a goal that you have for your own faith life. but how is it with your soul, and how will you be inconvenienced this day by God's abundant grace?
Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others that are calling, do not pass me by. Dark horse.